Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this is the Right Now Mastermind class for April 2014. My guest is Kira Henschel, and she's going to be talking about publishing and the publishing process. Before we get any further, let me introduce our guest. In 2002, Kira Henschel founded the award-winning Goblin Fern Press, now part of Henschel House Publishing. Since then, she has helped hundreds of authors navigate the often bewildering world of publishing as a workshop leader, consultant, book concierge, and traditional publisher. Welcome, Kira.
Thanks so much, Rochelle. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I am so glad to have you. I've known you for years, known of you for more years. But I'd like our listeners to get to know you. So why don't you start by talking a little bit about you and how you got into publishing and what you do now.
Okay, in a nutshell, my background's in geology and engineering, and I lived in Europe. I lived in Austria for about 13 years did translations of German geology into English geology for a number of different engineering companies. Then one day somebody asked me if I would like to help translate a book, and said sure. I very rarely say no to things. And one thing led to another. I really enjoyed doing the longer kinds of translations. And then when I came back to the States in 92, I worked for a publishing company as their production manager. We did press, preparing the books and the files for McGraw-Hill and Prentice Hall and some of the really large publishers out there. And so I learned the publishing industry from the inside out. Began doing book coaching. Everybody wanted to know, well, how do I get published? And so I started doing workshops that way. And I've used the same outline and same process since then. And that was back in 99 or 2000. So, and
wow.
Since then I've helped publish about 320 books.
That's amazing. That's great. Well, I want to get to talking about kind of the nuts and bolts of publishing, but I want to start with an overview. I think, you know, someone who's been traditionally published my whole life, you know, kind of I've always divided things up into traditional publishing and self-publishing. But I think the world is way more complicated now, and, you know, there are different ways to talk about indie publishing, from vanity press to hybrid publishing to, you know, throwing up a document on your website. So could you maybe talk a little bit about the layout of the land when we talk about publishing?
Sure. Publishing is essentially making something public. That's the root of publishing. And so there, when you say traditional publishing, that's getting a contract with a big publisher usually, or even a small publisher. I used to be a traditional publisher. And then the authors receive a royalty, which is a portion of the proceeds from the sale of the book. Usually that's about 10%. And then also authors can buy their own books from the publisher for anywhere from 20% discount to 40 or 50%. It just depends on the publisher and the agreement. And that's probably the direction that you've gone, Rochelle.
Yes.
On the other end of the spectrum is true self-publishing, which is setting up your own publishing company, purchasing the ISBNs, which identify both the book. The ISBN is like a social security number for your book. And if you do hardcover, softcover, audiobook, ebook, each one of those should have its own ISBN, its own unique identifier. What a lot of people don't know is that the ISBN also identifies the publisher. So to be a true self-publisher, like John Grisham was a true self-publisher. He published a Time to Kill on his own, and then it was picked up by a larger publisher. And Ben Franklin was really a true self-publisher. Deepak Chopra started out that way. James Redfield of The Celestine Prophecy was a self-publisher until... Kind of a rule of thumb that I've learned over the years, Rochelle, is that once your book starts selling 1,200 or 1,500 books a month for 6 months, That's when the agents start getting interested. That's when the larger publishers start getting interested, because they need to generate enough sales in order to cover all of the different expenses. This is for the traditional publishers. So that's something really for people to keep in mind, that larger publishers want the book to go beyond friends and family, students, you know. So anyway, the true self-publishing is setting up your own publishing company, becoming an entrepreneur. Nowadays, the self-publishing is, you know, if you pay somebody to help publish your book and Create Space is considered self-publishing. Create Space is the print-on-demand arm of Amazon. There's iUniverse, Ex Libris, Author House. There's 100 different quote-unquote self-publishing companies out there, and the author is really, they will publish what you submit. So in many cases now, you know, if you submit a manuscript that has a lot of typos, that's what's going to be published. So, you know, it's sort of a double-edged sword. A lot of people don't want to go through an agent or find an agent to work with a big publishing company. They get frustrated. It can take years to find the right person. So they'll go the quote-unquote self-publishing route, and then they're dismayed because the book doesn't look the way they want it to, or there are typos, or they don't know how to do the layout, and the book looks awful, and nobody buys it. So it gets kind of frustrating for people.
And what's kind of in between those two? What's a hybrid publisher? What does that mean?
Hey, hybrid or custom pub? I'm sorry for my dog.
It's always the speaker's dog that barks. Mine are at the beauty shop, so they're not barking today, but usually it's them, so don't worry.
Apologize.
No worries. It's usually mine, so.
Okay. All right. A hybrid, what I've learned over the years, because marketing, what I'd like to emphasize first and foremost is to anybody who wants to become a published author is know your market, from the book idea all the way down to having a book in hand. Know your market. And I said that I used to be a traditional publisher. I believed in people. So, you know, they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to market the book, and let's print 500 books, and I still have, you know, 450 books sitting on the shelf. I've changed my model, and this I call it custom publishing, so that I participate. I partner with the author. The author helps out with the production costs. I pay for the printing costs. And then the author and I split the net royalties, because there are a lot of different industry discounts. Amazon, for instance, takes a 55% discount. So if your book costs $10, retails for $10, I, as the publisher, would get $4.50 back for that book. Of that $4.50, I share that with the author 50-50, because I see it more as a partnership. I want the author to succeed. The author wants the support of the publisher. So we really collaborate, say, okay, what kind of marketing can we do? How can we get the book out? You know, so it's really, and then the author has a lot more control on the process. Because you can say, well, I really like this image for the cover. I'm going to call them the large traditional publishers, might say, well, orange is the color this year, and we need to have a picture of a balloon on the cover, and it doesn't match necessarily with the theme of the book, or you as the author might hate orange. And the author doesn't love the book. Usually that author is not going to be out there helping promote it.
Wow.
So I think that's really where the difference lies, is that I know all of my authors, and really I care that they love the book.
So if we're looking at traditional, indie, and then the hybrid, Are there some types of publishing houses we need to be careful of? Are there some things that might kind of take us for a ride or not do a good job for us?
Good question. Buyer beware is what I say. Some of the I don't know where all this is going to go, Rochelle, but one of the larger ones that I've run with people is Publish America.
Mm.
People have signed up with Publish America and then wanted to get out, and they've ended up paying thousands of dollars to get out of the contract. One of the alarm signals that I've seen in the contracts is that they have the rights to any future book. You know, that
wow.
if you wanted to publish through Publish America and you had five books lined up, they would have the right to publish those books before anybody else would. So that for me is a big you know, red flag. And it really depends on what you want to do. I've helped a number of authors publish on CreateSpace. I did the layout for them or helped with the covers just so that it looked very professional, and also checked for typos and so on. Because if you're not in the industry, you don't know what to look for.
Mm. Well, and that's a good segue into my next question, which is, what are the steps that you think need to be present in every publishing process so that an author can release an exceptional product? You know, those of us who go through traditional publishing have kind of an idea of this, but if we're new, it's helpful to kind of have a sense of what are the steps, whether it's indie, traditional, or hybrid, what are the steps we need to go through?
Regardless, the author is really ultimately responsible for marketing and helping promote the book.
Okay.
And I think it's real. One of the key things that I've taught in my workshops and have said over the years is you need to switch from being a creative artist type of person and put on an entrepreneur's hat. Being an author is being an entrepreneur. And I've a lot of people have come to me and said, you know, I really don't like selling and you know, I'm shy and I don't want to talk about things. It's like, well, then I would perhaps not consider that person as a potential author.
Mm.
Because of the marketing. The author, if somebody comes to me also and says, everybody's going to want to read this book, I say, you have not done your research yet.
Yeah.
Because I think having an idea of who your author is and really narrowing it down to, if you say, okay, my readers are women 30 to 50 years of age with a college-level education or whatever, to really know your demographics. I think that's really interesting. Also, do some research on your book idea. You
okay.
can on Amazon. You can go on Google and just type in the subject and see how many searches come up. You know, how many responses come up. And see if there are people, you know, how many other books are out there like that. And also, you know, you can get some sort of an idea if there are 8,000 Italian cookbooks out there, what's going to make your book unique?
Mm.
That's for the author to really, really know that is important. And then that's one step. Having a good writing coach, having somebody to help guide you through the process, I think is key. Also, because you can have a good idea, and if it's not organized properly, it's not going to appeal to your audience.
Mm.
That's where you excel. I mean, you're
mm-hmm.
wonderful that way. Once a manuscript's done, what I usually recommend also is getting a manuscript review.
Mm.
And I often do those myself, or I work with somebody to do a manuscript review. It's like a first edit, but it also says, okay, in the first part of the book, the heroine had blue eyes, and now at the end of the book, she has dark blue eye or dark brown eyes or some, you know, so it's looking at consistency. It's looking at organization. It's looking at, is this book correct for your audience? If you're writing for young adults, it might be really different than if you're writing for accountants. Right? So that's part of the manuscript review as well. And then into the publishing, once you've found a publisher or decide to publish yourself, There are a number of different steps in that. There's the copy editing, book design, the cover and the interior, typesetting, which is converting the Word document, the electronic document, into something that looks like a book. And here's a key area is proofreading. Somebody who's never seen the book before, look at it, go through it with a fine-tooth comb. I think that's really... Some of my books have indices, and index back. And fortunately, I work with some great indexers, and they catch typos. Because if you're so close to the book, there's things that you might miss. And then deciding also, is it going to be a print book, audiobook, ebook? What sort of a book is it going to be?
Okay.
That's kind of the last. And then the marketing and sales, that goes on from the very beginning all the way through. Because you're always, I recommend to people to keep a notebook of some sort and write down or put in your iPhone, just keep ideas. Oh, I could talk to that group, or I could talk to that association, or this might appeal to the garden club. Keep ideas going so that you can, as the author, can go out there and either do workshops that are based on the book, or perhaps teleseminars or teleclasses, or, you know, there are lots of opportunities to kind of repurpose the book. And so that's thinking like an entrepreneur. That's it in a nutshell.
That's great. Thank you. So as a publisher, and as you talk to other publishers, what do you think publishers are looking for in authors? What makes an ideal author?
Somebody who's really gung-ho. This morning I spoke to an author who, on her own essentially, she was working with a very small publisher on the East Coast and has got fired almost by her publisher because she kept bugging the publisher saying, I'd really like to market this, and what do you think about this idea? And the publisher, silly publisher, just said that she was too involved with selling her book. Really. So as a publisher, the publisher wants an active author. Mm-hmm. I love it when authors are out there saying, okay, I need another 100 books. I'm going to be talking at this, that, and the other conference or whatever, and I need books to sell at the back of the room. I love it when authors are really involved. That's why I really started doing the workshops early on as a qualifier. I can tell pretty much if somebody is interested in getting the word out and sharing their message. I mean, why is the person writing the book? And I think over the years I've only had one person say, I want to make $1 million.
Wow.
Most people just want to say, I've got some really good information to share, or, I'm writing this book to educate people or to provide a platform so that I can raise money for this cause. I have people who are, a portion of the proceeds of their book goes to some charity or some cause. So the why is really important as well. That it's not an ego thing necessarily. It's more of a, let me share this information.
So as publishers are looking at authors, how does writing style or writing quality, all that kind of stuff, fit in to that?
I think people can be bad writers because people who love doing editing and fixing things up, like you and I do. We get a kick out of doing that. I would recommend doing the writing as much as, you know, as clearly and as correctly as possible. If the idea is great, if you have a good marketing plan, a lot of publishers would certainly be willing to work at that. And that's literary agents. When we were talking about literary agents before, it's the job of the literary agent is sort of to be a gatekeeper. This manuscript needs a lot of work. The idea is brilliant. You know, but if it's and that's when an agent might pitch something. I would just advise do it as cleanly and clearly as possible. Have a manuscript review. Have it edited. Put the money in at the beginning to make it as good a book as possible.
Yeah, good point. So what are some ways that writers can decide what kind of publisher is right for them and their current book project? What are some things we can use as deciding points?
How involved do you want to be in the production of the book? How much control do you have? You know, I don't know if you know how to do typesetting or, for instance, or, you know, cover design. There's some experts out there doing cover design. You can certainly hire people to do all of the pieces to put it together if you decide you want to do self-publishing. And I know that a lot of the self-publishing, quote-unquote self-publishing companies, like iUniverse or Ex Libris or Author House or CreateSpace, they provide services that involve, you know, they can do the layout, they can do cover design. One thing to think about, though, is that sometimes that there's a lot of transition in those big companies, and you might be working with Joe, an 18-year-old, one day, and then Susie, you know, 37-year-old, the next day. So there's a kind of a lack of continuity. They do provide services, but they're not going to. You need to care about your book, is what it is, and I think that's really what authors need to. How involved do they want to be? And how much control do they want to have? It just really depends. I help people also set up their self-publishing companies and then guide them through the process, because there is a process of getting the ISBNs and so on. So as far as, you know, deciding what tips for authors, how much time, money, energy do you want to put into your book? That again is the why. Why are you writing this book? You know, and I think it's important. I just did one book, a widow who her husband completed suicide 5 months after they were married, and her goal with that book is to help other people who have gone through similar situations.
Wow.
Just for instance, you know, there it's. What's the reason behind the book, and what are your skills? How much time do you have to devote to it? I think those are good questions to ask yourself.
Yeah, and one of the things I say to writers is, okay, and you said this earlier, you're going to have to market your book whether you go traditional or indie. So just, you know, take that out of the equation. The question is really, how much work do you want to do between finishing writing the book and having it ready for publication? And most of us want to work on the meat of the book, our writing, but we're maybe not able to do the editing, the copy editing, the cover design, because there's a real art in those skills. Even inside page design, I feel like there's a real art. And I can tell when a book's been badly self-published, not just by the typographical errors, but by the fact that there are no margins and no breaks between paragraphs and no headers. And as a person in the publishing industry, that's just so frustrating. So I really encourage people to think, you know, how much time do they want to put into that process? So thank you for letting them know.
If this were a live workshop, I have sorts of samples of self-published books that I share with people, and you know, it ranges from a person forgot to put the barcode on the back, or doesn't have a copyright page, or doesn't have headers or footers. And
yeah, it's a lot to keep track of, especially if it's not your field. You know, those of us, I've worked in editing and publishing for years, and so these are things that you get kind of drilled in your head by bosses. So now, you know, on your own, it's hard to remember all that stuff.
Right, right.
So talk about the various electronic and paper options. You know, there's PDF, there's Kindle, there's Nook, there's EPUB, there's hardcover, there's paperback. So what are some of the various versions, and how do we decide, you know, what we want to do? Do we want to do everything, just a few?
All the books that I publish nowadays are print books as well as Kindle.
Okay.
I prefer Kindle because it's much more ubiquitous than Nook. Nook is essentially EPUB, the EPUB format there, and Kindle is .mobi, and just about any device out there you can get an adapter for. Even on Kindle devices now, they have Nook Nook apps. You can actually read a Nook book on a Kindle device. I think having, like we were talking about CreateSpace before, the print-on-demand. So I many of my books are print-on-demand because they say that one of my authors is a speaker and she travels all over the country. So she'll say, okay, I have a talk in Atlanta. She'll order the books from me, and I'll order the books then from the printer, just the amount that's needed, 20 books or 50 books or whatever, and then have those books shipped directly to Atlanta, to the conference location. So we're cutting down on shipping and just complications. If that makes sense. There's
yeah.
A lot of books are sold, quote unquote, on consignment. So the publisher provides the books to the wholesaler, and the wholesaler provides the books to Barnes & Noble or different bookstores. And consignment means that most of the books in the Barnes & Noble store do not belong to Barnes & Noble. They still belong to the publisher until those books are sold, or the books can be returned.
Okay.
So that's what I think a lot of people don't realize, that, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on kind of behind the scenes, that why isn't my book in Barnes & Noble? First of all, it needs to be marketed, you know, but it also needs to go through the system. It needs to be available through the wholesalers. And that's part of the job of the publisher as well, is to make sure that the wholesalers know about the book, and that the Barnes & Noble knows about, and just by putting the book in books in print helps, but it's creating a buzz around the book as well. And so that people don't go in saying, well, you know, what's the latest Henschel House book? They'll go in saying, I want a book on equestrian, on horsey stuff, or I want something, the latest book by Rochelle Mielander. You know, so they go in looking for the subject and for the author. Those are the two things that bring people into bookstores or send people to Amazon.
Okay.
So those are things to think about as well.
So as writers are thinking about publishing, you know, when you go to a traditional publisher or an agent, you're not spending any money up front, although as a writer I might choose to spend some money on, and I have chosen to spend money on editors, development editors and copy editors before sending things to agents and publishers, just so I make sure my presentation is as good as possible.
Right.
But if I'm doing indie publishing, what kinds of things do I need to think about in terms of the costs involved with publishing a book? And maybe even talk about, you know, I mean, I spent quite a bit of money on marketing Write-A-Thon and my other books, even though they were traditionally published. So you can talk about that as well.
One of my early authors said, well, I guess I'm not going to buy a new car next year.
So
it's like, it's hard to say. It depends on what kind of a book it is.
Yeah.
The length, it depends on the size. Like a manuscript review, if you have a word count, let's just say it's a manuscript that has 60,000 words. What I usually do, and I'm just going to give myself as an example because I don't know how other people really do it, but so a manuscript, well, I do the book coaching. That's a whole other package. That's sort of what you do. And it's an hourly rate or it's a package. I quote people based on the amount of time and what kind of help they need, really.
Then
script review, I base it on word count because that seems to be the most quantifiable way. I charge between 2.5 cents and 5 cents per word, depending on the quality. If it needs a lot of work, I charge more.
Mm-hmm.
And I charge based on, I'll get some money up front, but then it's based on a series of benchmarks. And I usually go through it twice for that, for whatever the amount is. So manuscript review, copy editing, editorial, I think they pay or they ask between $60 and $80 an hour. I don't,
mm-hmm.
really, don't really know what the going rate is because I've switched over to just doing word count. Same thing with typesetting. I'll put sample pages together. If you want a 6x9 book and you want the layout to be this way and then enough white space and so on, I'll do a quote. Maybe I'll do 10 or 20 pages laid out and then apply that to the 60,000-word manuscript. We know approximately it's going to be maybe a 200-page book, just as a for instance. So there's a price per page for the typesetting, proofreading. After the book has been typeset, proofreaders vary. Some charge by the hour, some charge by the page. I work with a guy in Atlanta. I've never met him, never even spoken to him. I ship my typeset pages off to him. He prints them on his end, does any corrections, and sends them back to me. And I think he charges $1.50 a page for that.
Mm.
And that includes the printout and so on. I would, right now what I do is I recommend also that people do ebooks to kind of test the market, see if there's any, rather than doing a print and an ebook. There's still formatting and editing involved, but it's really, I think it's just get out there and approach your market. I was at a really wonderful conference this last week, and there were about 500 people there, and it was all romance readers. And 60 romance authors, and some of the romance authors just did their books on as ebooks, as Kindle or whatever. Just like 50 Shades of Grey was started as an ebook, and it became viral, and that's when the publisher started paying attention and wanted to put it out there as a print book. So the whole digital arena has changed the way things are done. Indie publishers can certainly have as much of an influence and have a great book out there as the big guys. They're much more flexible. I don't know if, and as far as costs go, printing, I would say anywhere between, if you're paying for print costs like at CreateSpace or some of the print-on-demand places, $5 to $7 a book. If you're printing larger quantities, those get reduced. So, it really, I hate to say it, but it just depends. It's like saying, well, what does a car cost or what does a house cost? It depends on how many bells and whistles.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you have some ideas about how writers can save some time and money as they get their book published? I know for me, although I may self-publish in the future, traditional publishing has been lovely because I know someone else is going to take care of some of those things. Of course, then I have, the problem of, well, what if I don't like the cover? What if I don't like what they're doing with the title? And that's added stress. But I'm willing to take that on so that I don't have to deal with picking out a book cover myself and so forth. So how do you see writers saving time and money? I know one thing you talked about is, trying out that ebook first and seeing how that goes.
I think that's a huge area. it still needs to be edited. I would, the editing or having a good copy editor, having a good developmental editor, I think is one of the best places to invest some money. And it, I mean, I've worked with people on fixed income. I say, okay, we can work, you know, do an hour a month. It depends on how quickly people want to get done. I would say talk to Rochelle or talk to me, you know, just to get an idea. And that was one of the reasons I started doing the workshops too, that really walk through the publishing process so that people understand what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, that makes. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. As far as saving money, you wouldn't want a new, like a medical student doing brain surgery on you. You go to a good brain surgeon, right? And I would say really look around, find somebody you can work with who has the right sense of your book. Depends, are you writing a book for accountants? Are you writing a novel? Are you writing, you know, it depends on what you're writing. And different editors have different styles, different ways of doing the books as well. So find somebody you can connect with and get help. Also, there are writers groups out there that people will, I think every library has a writers group or bookstores have a writers group, and you can get critiques and you can get bounce things off of people. There's also Redbird.
Go ahead.
I don't know if Redbird used to have classes for writers. And that's a really good way. Find a buddy to help you out, critique. So you read your buddy's, book buddy's stuff and give your honest feedback, and that person would read your stuff and give honest feedback.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've been a member of a number of professional organizations for years, American Society of Authors and Journalists, Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and that's a great way to find critique partners because you're getting people in your genre and you're getting people who care about their work. So, you know, Romance Writers of America, all those things are really helpful ways. So that's good. I mean, because I think you can save a lot of money on the front end if you're working with a critique group. So when do you think a writer should start thinking about publishing? You know, do we finish the book and then start thinking about publishing? Do we start thinking about it as soon as we have an idea? Or is it kind of a process?
Good question, Rochelle. it really depends. I do some book coaching, meaning that I help keep people on track with their writing, and I ask them something to me. We compile it, and then later on we'll go through and edit it. But I think it's so important to keep your market in mind. Think of your editor. I often recommend to people even cutting a person out of a magazine who would be your ideal reader as you're writing. So, you know, one woman I'm working with in Texas, she's writing a book on helping young women build their self-esteem. So I suggested to her, get a couple of pictures of the young women you're writing this book for. They'll keep you motivated. They'll keep you on track so you don't get off on a tangent. I think when to consider publishing. Some people are writer. They just want to be writers. They don't want to be published. It just depends. It's as unique as each person.
Yeah.
I don't
Good
know what
point.
Do you say, you know, when should people think about publishing?
Well, I would actually have different answers for different genres. I think that in the beginning, you got to think about publishing as you're developing your idea, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, and kind of think about who your reader is, who your market is. because if you know who you're writing for, it's just much easier to put together the book, and you can kind of keep them in mind. So if you're writing kids' books and you're writing a chapter book, and you so you know this is for young kids, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 6, 7, 8, you're going to think about what kind of words you put in it. But if you're writing fiction, once you have your readership, I say, you know, don't even think about publishing until you're done with the book. Write your book. Just go, close the door, write your book, and stop fretting about marketing and platform and all that stuff. But I think if you're writing nonfiction, developing a platform is really important. And so I think that from the beginning, it's helpful to know, how am I going to sell this book? Am I going to try to go the traditional route? Am I going to try to go the indie route? And the process is pretty much the same, except with the traditional route, you do the book proposal. With the indie route, you write the whole book, but you have to do your research first. And know who your market is, because if you don't know your market, you can't sell your book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like trying to sell Swedish meatballs in a primarily Latino neighborhood. Not going to work so well. Nobody wants a Swedish meatball or a lefse or something if they're Latino. Like, what's that? That's like a potato tortilla. That's weird. So it's the same thing with books. If I'm writing a book for teens, I'm not going to sell it in an adult bookstore, obviously. I really like people to start thinking early, but then they got to set it aside and write, because otherwise it becomes kind of anxiety-provoking.
Yes, right, exactly. I mean, you have to develop the product. Like, if you're writing for young adults, I would also say, you know, where are they reading their books? Are they listening?
Yeah.
Are they reading them on their iPhones or their iPads or whatever? Where is your author, or where is your readership looking at the books?
Yeah, and perfect.
That to keep that in mind throughout the process.
Kira, I want to open this up to questions from our listeners or our participants. So if you would like to ask a question and you muted yourself, you can push *7. If I muted you, I've already unmuted you, so you're good to go. So if you'd like to unmute yourself and ask a question, push *7. Just introduce yourself and ask Kira your question.
Hi, Kira. This is Dan from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi there, Dan.
Two quick questions for you. Distribution channels. Why do they, that is publishers, get them and we don't?
We meaning?
In particular, I have one book that I've written, and it's with a hybrid publisher, and they have, this is kind of part of the second question too, is I have an option to purchase a comprehensive traditional media outreach with additional services and the conditions, and it's worth $3,000. I would have to pay $3,000 to do that. And I don't know whether or not I want to, because if standard distribution channels, meaning Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and so on and so forth, I don't directly have access to them, but they do.
The publisher does. Your publisher.
Yes.
Right. Well,
so it's really two questions. Is one is what's their secret formula that they have to have access to these distribution channels? And you know, there's a media outreach that I can purchase. Is it going to be worth it?
Well, whether the media outreach is going to be worth it, I can't really tell. You know, that's a hard one, because no publisher or author can really guarantee success. It depends on the quality of the book and on the audience. If the audience is there, maybe it does make sense to do that. As far as distribution goes, I do most of my own distribution. I do not work with a distributor because I have too wide a range of books. I have fiction, nonfiction, poetry. I mean, it's a wide range. However,
so if you do true self-publishing, do you have access to those distribution channels with your own ISBN? And so?
You can do that, yes. You need to apply as you can set up yourself as a publisher. Like, there's a print-on-demand company. It's called Lightning Source. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay, Lightning Source only works with publishers. However, they are a branch of Ingram, which is it's like one of the larger wholesalers out there. So if you publish, if you set yourself up as a publisher through Lightning Source, self-publishing, then you can order the book, and it goes out, it goes out through the whole industry.
Okay.
So that would be one avenue. It's considered print on demand, and you need to have the right kind of percentages. Like, for instance, Amazon and the wholesalers, Ingram, Baker, and Taylor, take a 55% discount on off of books so that there's enough money in there for everybody, right? And bookstores get a 40% discount. So you need to just keep those percentages in mind, and also ensure that you make the book returnable, because otherwise bookstores aren't going to pick it up. That said, if you are a speaker or you're doing workshops, your main source of revenue is going to come from back-of-the-room sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if that answers your question. I work with a couple of self-publishers, and through to help distribute their books. So I have their books in my shopping cart, and people can order their books on my website, and I take care of the fulfillment and the shipping and, you know, tracking.
Sure.
The tracking, Amazon and some of the other places, there's a 90-day to 120-day lag between when the book is sold and when the book is paid for.
That's helpful. I want other people to have a chance, so I'm going to mute it, and I'll listen for a while. If I have another one, I'll come in later.
That helped answer your question. But
it did very much. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Thanks, Dan. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else have a question for Kira about publishing, self-publishing, indie publishing, hybrid publishing, different steps in the process? She's got a lot of experience. You've got a good opportunity here to kind of talk to someone who does this every day.
Well, since nobody else is talking, can I ask another one?
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Okay. I forgot what you'd said. Did you say go Kindle or go Nook?
I prefer Kindle.
Okay.
Because Amazon is the world's fifth largest retailer. Your book is on Kindle. It's more accessible than it is through Barnes and Noble. That's my philosophy. Plus, it's easier when I'm working on a book. Say that I do the most of the typesetting myself, so I can convert it easily into Kindle. It's an easier conversion than it is for me than putting it into an EPUB document.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, and I just think Kindle's easier. If you go to CreateSpace, which is the self-publishing arm of Amazon, they also can convert your book into Kindle very easily. So that might be another avenue.
Sure, yeah. let me express one of my frustrations that I already had expressed to Rochelle earlier, and at least hear your view on it. I worked very, very hard. I have one book that's traditionally published, and the other one is a hybrid published. But the first book, I worked very hard to sell it, and for 2 years they said no, 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 and they finally went with it. But what I hear from all publishers is, we need new stuff. Give us new stuff, something that nobody has done before, and I'm very, very good at that. I'm good at doing market research and knowing my demographic. Even when I did that, then they say, well, there's no market for it. We don't know how it's going to sell. Well, you can't have it both ways. I mean, it's really frustrating. I know that some of the frustration that publishers are feeling right now is they're just panicking how to make money. So,
well, some of them are.
Yeah, true. It's just frustrating when you have something new and it took so long to sell, and now they're saying, oh, this is going to sell great. Well, it's like, guys, I knew this 2 years ago.
You know, I guess my thought is, and I don't know what Rochelle has told you, or but my thought is, prove them wrong. You know, put it out there on a Kindle yourself, and show, you know, look at how many downloads there have been, or look at how many book sales there have been.
Okay.
And I think publishers are, they're institutions, so they're, like all institutions, going to be notoriously slow to new ideas. Once they find that something does well, like 50 Shades of Grey, even though I hate to say that because it's I don't like the book, but once they see something that goes well, they're like, okay, let's do a gazillion of these. Or The Hunger Games. The Hunger Game was a runaway hit bestseller, so now dystopian fiction is everywhere, and it's just the market is flooded with it. So they're very good copycats, but they're not the people we look to for innovation. And writers tend to be innovators, or many of us tend to be innovators and creative thinkers. And so that's why indie publishing can be great. And one of the things Larson talks about in his book, How to Write a Book Proposal, is that one of the places that publishers are picking up new authors is from the shelves of self-published or indie-published books. So they're kind of waiting for people to indie-publish, watching their track record, and when they sell well, they're picking them up, just like they did with 50 Shades of Grey. So that's just my two cents. Go ahead, Kira.
I think that's why I started the company originally, was just to give first-time authors the chance to prove themselves. And that, I think that's still my niche, is helping people put good books together so they can say, okay, over the last year, I've sold 1,000 books or 1,500 or 5,000 books or whatever it is, to get used to being an author and kind of going through the process rather than, and I think with some of the larger publishers, you get bounced around from editor to editor and it's hard to get straight answers. That's what I've heard. That it's really the first-time author. I believe that, you know, everybody, first of all, I believe everybody has a book in them. Second of all, I truly believe that everybody has something to say, should have a way to get their words out to the world. And what you know, the book industry study group out there really does pay attention. You can tell how many books are selling by ISBN. Really.
Mm.
That's how they track it. And The Christmas Box was another one, and that's how James Redfield got picked up by a big publisher. He said, the heck with it, I'm going to just get this book out there. And then Simon & Schuster picked it up and then finally edited it. And and now it's still a best-selling, kind of an evergreen book.
That's great. Well,
this has been really outstanding.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan. We're at the time when we get to our last question, which is always the same last question every time. But it's because I like to give our speakers a chance to share a little piece of wisdom with us. But before Kira does, I want to let you know that I'll be sending out the recording later in the week, along with any links or to Kira's stuff. I'll send out her bio and anything that she wants to provide in terms of resources I'll send out to you so that you can go look at her website and find out more about her. So, Kira, do you have a final piece of wisdom to leave with us?
Ha. I would say write. Judy Bridges, her favorite thing is just shut up and write.
Yeah.
I think it's really committing. Being committed to your own process and taking the time to write and keeping your audience in mind, knowing who you're writing the book for. If you're just writing it for yourself, write it for yourself and go to Kinko's and get it printed out, or Kink FedEx. If you're writing it for others, if you have a really powerful message to share, if you want to educate people, If you have a message that doesn't want to stay inside anymore, really get it out there. There are lots and lots of different ways to do that. Okay, so I appreciate this opportunity, Rochelle. It's great.
Well, I so appreciate you coming, Kira. It's been really good to have you. And everybody, thanks for coming. Thanks to Kira. And I'll be sending out the recording later in the week. And remember to always write. Take care, everybody. Bye. Okay.
Now, bye-bye.
Thanks.